Good morning. Why don't we pray and then get to work. God, thank you for being good to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for trying to connect with us and communicate with us. And we especially thank you in this moment for this book and for having spoken through it and for promising that it is living and active and that you continue to speak when we read it. So God, in these moments as we read this book, we pray that you would speak and that you would draw us to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so we've been talking the last few weeks about the idea of what is a church? Why are we here? Why are we doing this? What's the purpose behind it all? And it started out at the very beginning of the year because the thought was, well, if we're going to be doing this for another year, which I assume we are, unless Jesus comes back, then we should, you know, kind of just take a step back and say, why? What's the purpose? Let's make sure that we're going in the right direction together as a group. And so we started off the first week by saying, well, what is the church? We think of the church as this meeting. I go to church. And week after week, we said, no, we don't go to church because the church is God's people. It's God's physical presence in the world. It's the old, you know, you can't go to church because you, one of us grew up going to the right Sunday school, obviously. Yeah, you can't go to church because you are the church. We are the church. And when we come together, the church is coming together. But together, collectively, we are God's physical presence in our community. And God's purpose for us, for his physical presence in his community, is that we would connect other people who are living out their own stories, connect other people to God's story so that they could be reconciled with God. His ultimate purpose is that not that we get together and meet and behave and be nice people, although all of that is good. His ultimate purpose is that we live our lives helping other people connect with his story and be reconciled to him. And today I want to take that to the next step and say, okay, what does that have to do with us as a group? Well, here's the thing. When we live our lives, when you live your life and I live my life focused on God's purpose, on helping other people connect our lives to God's story, when we have that as our purpose and we see every single person we come into contact with, which I know I don't do this, you don't do this, but this should be what we do. When we see every person we come into contact with as someone who needs to be in connection with God and someone who we either needs to come into a relationship with God or grow more fully in their relationship with God, and we see our purpose in their lives, whether we're on the same team with them or we go to school with them or we work next to them or we're just going through their checkout line and we have, you know, that 30 seconds to say hello. Our purpose in their life is in some way to help them get closer to God, and that might be just small acts of kindness over time, or it might be us actively speaking and saying, hey, could we study together? But our purpose in their life is to help them to get closer to God. When you and I start looking at all of life like that, in other words, this isn't my God time. This is God time, but all of my life, when I get home and I get out of a car, my neighbor's getting out of his car, and what I do in that moment, do I quick dart into the house like a scared rabbit, which is kind of what I like to do because I'm, believe it or not, I'm kind of an introvert and I'm kind of antisocial, so I would rather just duck into the house and not have to, hey, how are you doing? And you know, I don't know, is anybody else like that? Okay, what I do in that moment, how I interact with my neighbor, then how I interact with my family when I get in the house, everything is either me trying to just live my life or me trying to help them little by little get closer to God. When we start seeing all of life in that way, when our life becomes centered on God's purpose to help other people be reconciled to him, you know what happens to all of us, not just to me and you individually, but to all of us together? We start becoming family. See, here's what Jesus says. We'll look at what Jesus says. We're going to look at two scriptures today. And then what the book of Acts shows is that when God's people individually are on God's mission, that joins them together in a very deep community. And they don't have to try to figure out how are we going to be a church that has community and that, you know, is a family. We become family. Here's how it works. Matthew 12, Jesus is talking to a crowd, And in another, I'm not sure where the cross reference is, but Matthew 12:46, in I believe it's Luke's telling of the story, he gives us another little detail, which is that the house where Jesus was speaking was packed. So it wasn't like, you know, they didn't have, it was on a big auditorium. It was a house, and it was packed full of people. Probably half of them were there because they wanted to be healed, and so they're pushing and shoving, and Jesus was teaching. And Matthew 12:46. While he was still speaking to the people, behold, his mother and his brothers stood outside asking to speak to him. They didn't talk to him directly because he was inside teaching and there were people all around, and so they couldn't even get to him. And so they sent someone to tell him, but he replied to the man who told him. So someone came in, his mom was like, hey, could you go tell Jesus we've come from his home and we want to talk to him. We're his family. And what would you expect Jesus to do? Don't read ahead, that'll ruin it. What would you expect Jesus to do? His mom comes. His brothers come. I mean, you know, even the hardest, you know, convict has what tattooed on their arm? Do we not watch any TV at all? Mom, it's a heart. It's yeah, that's, and so mom's outside. What do you do? Guys, it's been good talking, but give me just a second. Let's take, you know, a little coffee break. That's what church people do. Let's take a coffee break, and I'm going to go talk to my mom and my brothers. They came to see me, and Jesus says something that appears just cold and harsh and kind of mean. And here's what I have done with this text for most of my life. I've jumped over it because this seems so mean and harsh that I've given Jesus just like, you know, a Jesus mulligan. It's like, well, you're Jesus, so I'm just going to ignore that because obviously that doesn't square with what even a decent human being would do, much less the Son of God. But there's a reason why he did it. So read on. He replied to the man who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And on first glance, that's like, what do you mean? You know who your mom is. And if there's any doubt who your mom is and your brothers are, just look outside. They're right there. Who are my? He's saying, you really think that is my closest family? That's what Jesus is saying with this question. How do you think his mom felt if she heard this? Right, not very good. Who is my brother? Who are my brothers? She probably started crying when she heard him say that, because that's a cold thing to say on first glance. Why would he say that? And then stretching out his hands towards his disciples, his followers, the people who were on mission with him, he said, here are my mother and brothers. He wasn't saying like Peter is his mom, and he's saying, this is my family. These people are my true family. Who is my true family? The woman who I love, Jesus didn't disrespect his mother. When he was on the cross, he, in his dying breath, made sure that she was taken care of. He said, John, take care of her. And then she went and lived in John's house. So he was not disrespecting his mother and his brothers. What he was saying is, who is my closest family? Who are the people that are so close to me? They're even closer than my mom and my brothers. Who is my family, my true family? Who is it? Well it's these guys, because we're on mission together. Then he explains it even more. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. He's saying, my true closest family. The names I would get tattooed if I was in prison. That my closest family are the people who are on God's mission with me. And see, when we hear Jesus say that, it's a different way of looking at church, right? But just jump out of church for a minute and just think about life. Who are the people you feel closest to? Are you on a sports team? Have you ever been on a sports team? You can just nod. No one will notice. Okay. Didn't you start feeling like family with those guys or girls, whatever the situation? Maybe not. Sometimes. Or what about at work? Sometimes when I was working, I work at home now, but when I was working in an office programming, we had inside jokes, It was like my little club. It was like, and every time I would get a new contract, because I'm a consultant, so I would jump from, you know, company to company. Every time I get a new contract, I'm not going to get close to this group. I'm not going to, you know, we're just going to professional distance. A couple months later, we were like a big group of brothers, and I would do jokes, and then I'd get home, and I'd try to tell my wife what happened during the day, and she'd be like, yeah, it's not, I don't even get it. It's not even funny. It's like, and I would realize I'm getting closer to these guys than even my physical family. Why? Well, because we're going in the same direction together. We're on the same team. We're fighting for the same thing together. What would make street gangs so tight? Well, they have the same purpose. They become family. Anytime you get a group of people together and you say, go in that direction together, even strangers, they become family-ish. And what Jesus is saying is that that same dynamic is true, but to the nth power in his kingdom. When his followers are on mission together, when you and my goal is to help the people around us become connected to God, something changes. And church all of a sudden isn't about coming together once a week, as important as that is, and as much as I love coming together once a week. That's not what church is about. Church is about you and I are on mission together, and we are family. We're family. So the problem with that, it's probably fairly obvious, I don't know if you've been around church very long, at least for me, I grew growing up in church, the problem with that whole thing is that most of the time, church isn't like family. To varying degrees, right? I'm speaking in generalities. There's some of you who say, well, no, church is just like family. But in varying degrees, church seems more like a Sunday meeting, maybe a Wednesday meeting, but not a family. It's a group of people who come together and then go off and we live separate lives. And then we come back together again and you know, the common love for each other until 11:30. And I go back and live my, and Jesus said, you're my body. And a lot of times we're like a body where every part's been amputated and it kind of gets together, you know, at the doctor's office and then rushes out again into the world and lives separate lives. Church is not known, God's community is not known for living like a true family. We read verses like John 13:35, where Jesus said, people will know you're my disciples, my followers. Why? Well, because your love for each other. Oh, I thought it was because I didn't drink and dance and smoke and go to bars on the weekend. Jesus said, no, the reason they'll know that you're my disciples is because your love for each other. So we hold that up and say, that's the goal. That's why do we have to keep saying that? Well, because that's normally not the reality of church life. And it leaves us with this constant undercurrent of, I know that at some level, we're supposed to be more family than we are. And the reality is that that's true. God's family is supposed to be, God's community is supposed to be a family. If you look past what Jesus said and then just go on to what his followers lived in the book of Acts, they're the model for their community. Acts 2 talks about it at the end of Acts 2. Jump over to Acts 4:32. This will be the second passage we look at. Acts 4, it describes the way they lived together. So Acts 4:32, look at the first phrase. Now, the full number of those who believed, so all the Christians, everyone who followed Jesus, were of, what does it say, one heart and one soul. They were united. They were a family. They weren't a bunch of disconnected people that came together once in a while to do some of the same things together. They were united. They were a family. If you've ever been around one of those big families, sometimes maybe if you've seen a movie, if you've never seen it in real life, my family's a big family. They're kind of like this. It's kind of like a mafia thing. It's like you get one, you get them all, and they're all always together. You don't speak of them individually. It's the Konarskis, the Konarski girls. It's the whole group. If you haven't experienced that in your own family, you know, just think of some of the movies you've seen with, you know, some of the big, you know, big fat Greek wedding family, those kind of things. That's the kind of thing that it's describing here. Everyone, the full number of those who believe were of one heart and soul. They were united. They were a family. And then look at what it says. No one said that any of the things, think about some of your things, little digital things and driving things and house things and clothes things. None of their things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. True family is seen in what we do with our things. I wouldn't lend you my iPad. It's kind of my little idol right now. So I wouldn't lend it to you. But my boys, they come in my office and I want to play with the iPad. Okay. Why? They're my boys. They're family. Would I let your 8-year-old play with my iPad? Never. But my boys, of course, they're my boys. What do they need? If they need anything, I'll not buy stuff for me to buy stuff for them. If they need whatever they need, it's like I've gone out to Walmart at 12 at night because we need milk for breakfast the next morning and I forgot to buy it earlier. And it's my family. Things are held together in commune when you're family. It's only when you're not family, when you see I have my little family here and you have your little family there, and I realize you might need something, and then I start analyzing if you really need it and if I really should give it to you, and I quickly talk myself out of sharing because that just, and anyway, even if you need it, you need to work for it. And so, but when we're family, well, that all changes. If my mother needed anything, what do you think would happen? I would give it to her. I would give her my car and I would walk because she's family. And that's the way they lived, being family, giving things to each other doesn't make us family. But when we're family, what we do with our things, it changes. Does that make sense? Just a quick nod and I'll move on. You can even lie. Okay, 33, with great power. And then he talks about what made them family. With great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They were talking about Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. I think when it says great grace was upon them all, I think what it's saying is the Holy Spirit was empowering all of them to do ministry, to work together, to be on the same purpose. And if you go back to the beginning of Acts, this community, you say, well, wait a second, where did this family come from? Because a lot of times in churches we say, okay, we want to be a family, we want to be a community. Let's get into community. Let's become a family. Wait a second. Where did this family come from? We read Acts 2 for the companion passage, Acts 2, 44, I believe, that towards the end of Acts 2, where it talks about how they lived as family as well. And we say, we want to be an Acts 2 church. We want to be a church where we're community together, we're a family. So we start going after that. But wait a second. When did they become family? What made them family? Well, the Acts 2 church, the family, that what we see here in Acts 4, that family came from Acts 1. When Jesus said in Acts 1, 8, I believe, you will be my witnesses. You're going to tell people about me. And then the Spirit came on them, and they started telling people about Jesus. And then 3,000 people got baptized, and they were discipling those people and meeting together and telling other people about Jesus. And every day, at the end of Acts 2, every day, God was bringing more people in, and every day, people were getting, they couldn't keep the chlorine fresh enough because they were dunking people. I mean, God was bringing people into, they were on mission together, and they lived as a family. They didn't set out and say, okay, now we're Jesus' family. We better live as a family. What community group are you in? Are you opening up your house? Are you living together as a family? They said, no. They were on mission together, and family, being a community, is a result of being on mission together. It's the product of it. It's what happens when your goal and my goal is the same goal. And theirs was. So then read the last part of it, 34. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them. So they weren't just letting people play with their iPads. They were selling houses and properties. They were being radically sacrificial to each other. Why? Because they were family. Sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as he had need. They sold their things. They gave to each other. They lived in community. They lived as a family. Why? Because they were on the same mission together. You're on mission together, you become family, and God's people are family. So what should we do? I know if you're thinking, if you follow at all our messages, we normally get down to 11:30 and we get to application. It's 11:15 and we're at application. The application is a little longer today. We have to think through, okay, how do we live as a family on mission together? I want to walk us through kind of a four-step process. So walk through this, work through this with me. This is where we have to work together, even though you don't get a talk, but work through it with me in your mind. Okay, how do we live together as God's family on God's mission? Think of the call. What is the call? Jesus' commission to his disciples, to his followers, to us, if we follow Jesus, is not live together as a family and meet together once a week. His call was make other followers who will make other followers, right? That was his call to them. And as they radically reoriented their lives around that mission, they became family. So if we are going to live as the people of God, as God's presence on this little corner of earth, what should we do? We should radically reorient our lives around the mission of God and the family of God. We should, instead of saying, I come to church on Sunday. It's no. What do you need to do in your life so that your life will be focused? What we talked about last week, so that your life's focus, yes, I have to work and I have to take care of my family. I get to take care of my family. I get to do all these other things, but my focus in life is helping other people get to heaven. How do you radically reorient your life around that? And then, how do you reorient your life around doing that with other people, with these other people? It's not about me going off and living my life and doing what's convenient together when it's convenient for me. It's reorienting my life. Whether that means something as radical as changing where I live, or when I move, deciding where I'm going to live based on the mission of God, not on where I want to live, or whether it means something as radical as changing my habits so that I have more time to spend on mission with other people in God's community. That's God's call, is for us to be radically on mission with other people. And be careful. We're talking about being family, but where does the application start? Having the same purpose. Being on mission together. Why is that important? Because if you and I pursue being family and community together, you know what happens in church world? If we try to be family without the purpose, if being family becomes our purpose, not helping other people get connected with God, and we become family as a result of that, you know what happens? Family and community becomes very ingrown and becomes very selfish, and it becomes all about who? Us. God's family in the Bible was never about us. It was about them. And as we focus on them, we become family together. So how do we live out that calling? For some of us, the next step is not to focus as much on Jesus' mission for other people, but his mission for you. It's to enter into his family. One of the biggest reasons to be part of God's be God's child, to repent and be baptized, to make that decision, is not just that you get salvation, it's that you become part of God's family, and you're given a purpose, and you're given a group of people to fulfill that purpose with. Your life should become much more rich and meaningful, because now you're part of a family that, according to what Jesus said at the beginning of the message, should be even more intimate than your physical family that you came from. So for many of us, that, or some of us, that is the next step, is to enter. Once you are part of the family, you've repented and been baptized, you're part of the family, how do we live together on mission? We do mission together. So if you're working, and there's a couple guys at work, a couple gals at work, and you're like, I know that God is, I sense there's going to be a door opening with those people. Don't just pray for them by yourself. Talk to some other people here and say, hey, would you pray for Tim and John at work? Because I'm trying to hang out with them after work, and I want to talk to them about Jesus. And would you pray for them every day that God would open up their heart and draw him to themselves? And then this other person who doesn't even know Tim and John at work, what are they doing? They're praying for them. And then maybe you're hanging out with Tim and John, and you send a text to that person, hey, you guys want to come over and just hang out? And now they've been praying for Tim and John. They don't even know Tim and John. And now you guys are hanging out, and they meet Tim and John. And now you both, you're friends with Tim and John now, but you have a purpose. You are trying to get Tim and John closer to Jesus, and you're doing it together. What do you think happens to your relationship with that other person who's been praying for the people at work that you're trying to help get connected with Jesus? What happens to your relationship? Oh, you become more like family because you're focused on the same thing. Or you start studying the Bible with someone and you say, hey, instead of me just studying by myself, I'm gonna grab the book of Mark, or I'm gonna grab the I Want Peace with God book, or whatever study you want to do. I'm gonna sit down with this person and study, and instead of me just studying with them, I'm gonna ask someone else to study with me. Hey, could you come to this study with me? And you know, either help me with the study or just pray silently while we're there at the study and just be there. I'm not gonna know all the answers, and you can help me go to the study together. See, we have to look for opportunities to do a mission together. You're thinking about your neighbor who doesn't know Jesus, and you've been kind of saying hi instead of ducking into your house like a little scared rabbit, you know, when you get home. And then you invite them over for dinner, and you say, hey, instead of me being on mission by myself, I'm going to invite another family from this community over, and I'm going to invite my neighbor who's not a Christian over. And you mention that to this family that you invite over from church. You say, hey, I want to invite you guys over, but I'm inviting our neighbor. We've been praying for them, and they're going to come over for dinner, and could you guys come over and just see where the Spirit leads things and just help us develop a relationship with them together? It's being on mission together. That's where family comes from. So who are the people? I want to go back to last week's message. Who are the people that God's put around you? How do you help them get closer to God? Do you need to pray for them? Do you need to offer them a study? Do you need to spend time with them? What do you need to do with those people? Okay, how can you involve somebody else from this community in that? Do it together. And as you do the mission together, we become family. Does that make sense? One quick example. I have a friend, he actually was baptized here just a little bit ago. He went to California right after he was baptized, and he wanted to see his family. And so I've been praying for his mom and his dad and his brothers. I don't know them. But you know what? That makes our bond, me and his bond, tighter as brothers, because it's his family, and he wants them to be saved, and he's been praying for them, and I've been praying for them. See, when we're on mission together, we become family together. And then as we do that, as we spend more time together and are on mission together, we have to do what they did in Acts and be radically generous with our time and our money with each other. That means opening up our homes. That means inviting people over. Can you invite everybody over to your house? Probably not. Can you invite somebody over to your house every week? Yeah. And as you invite other people from here over to your house, can you invite neighbors and other friends who aren't Christians over? Yes. We need to open up our homes. We might not sell our homes like they did in Acts, but we sure better be opening our homes, right? Just say yes to that, because that's true. Think about it. And we should be radically generous with each other. As we see need in our family, we should be generous with each other. But that is not the goal. That comes out of being on mission together. So what do you need to do? Do you need to enter into God's family? If so, I urge you, just tell one of the men, I'm ready to enter. I want to repent and be baptized. Do you need to involve other people in your mission? Even just saying, hey, would you pray for this guy at work? I've been praying for him for a while, and nothing is opening up there. Would you help me and pray for that person? And maybe the first time the person that you asked to pray for your friend at work meets that person is when they're getting baptized here. How cool would that be? And maybe for you, it's just opening up your home this week and inviting somebody over, somebody from the community or somebody from church, and just being generous with your time. What do you need to do to live more as family on mission with other members of your family? When we do that, I know it sounds like, you know, it's like, oh, that's like changing our lifestyle. It is. But you know, when we do that as a group, when we are all on mission together and we live as family on mission together, God changes our community and He changes the people around us. That's how He makes us be His physical presence in the world. Why don't we stand, we'll pray, and then we'll sing. God, thank you for being good to us. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to think through what it means to be on mission with you and to be on mission with you together with each other. God, I pray that this year that we would be a people that individually burn with a passion for other people to know you, and that we live our lives for that. And God, I pray that you would make us be a close family, that this community would be a close family of people who are together helping the people in their lives get closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.